Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app. This is it. From humble beginnings.
Who will rise above them all?
26 rounds of footy. One winner. One chance at immortality. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks the footy.
G'day everybody, lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Ryan Girdler can't be with us today. We've just got 2 hours to share with you this afternoon before the Giants take on the Sydney Swans. You'll hear that on Triple M. Then from 5 o'clock, back with Saturday Triple M NRL for the Doggies taking on the Panthers. Del M, good afternoon. When do you look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? There are reports, spotted in Bondi. Wendell Saylor.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, look, I've had a couple of days up in Sydney, so it's been great. Actually, I had a couple of days in and around World Square here, State of the Ridges, but then I thought, my wife said, look, babe, you've been good lately, just go and treat yourself down at Bondi. So I stayed in Bondi last night, just relaxed a little bit. It was great. It was just what the big man needed.
Where'd you stay?
The QT at Bondi.
Oh, that's where the Blues stay when they're in Bondi, yep.
Yeah.
When your beautiful wife, says you've been good lately, what does that mean, actually?
Oh, probably she needs a bit of time away from me. Maybe I might be too much for her and that. But I like going home because I get to see Dobby all the time. Like, I love seeing my
dog. Is that the only reason you like going home?
No, I love my wife and kids, but, like, he misses me. He gives me that attention that
for
I need.
For those who don't know, Dobby, of course, is the...
Dashy.
The Dashy, yeah.
Yeah.
Cute little dog.
Yeah, but, like... But what's good last night? When you have a bit of time to yourself and that, and Saturday is a good day talking footy at our show. So, but you know what? I stayed up a little bit longer than I wanted to last night.
What were you doing?
Watching the Ashes. I was watching, and it was just like Steve Smith, wonderful mate. That was a wonderful knock, and he got booed and that. So, to your Poms out there, boo to you too. But that's cricket, sometimes. But just watching last night, they were just whacking us around like we were club cricketers. Yeah. I don't know how we didn't pick Stark or,
Mitchell Stark is an absolute bizarre that he is in that side. Left armer for a start.
Yes.
I know it was white ball, but the most wickets in the World Cup over there was Mitchell Stark.
Disrespectful. Haven't heard too much about Rory Burns. I thought it must have been Joe Burns' brother or something who opted to play for England. So he makes his maiden 100.
Yeah.
His 100 and
It's tough. And we'll actually speak to Stuart Clark. I know he's one man who will have a good take on the Australian bowling attack and where it went wrong. Obviously, Peter Siddle was picked for his batting.
Yes, 44.
Which did help in that innings. How's your week been, Em?
Yes,
it's been good. It's been good. It's been busy. I was at Leichhardt on Thursday night with Dell as well, so it was nice. Tigers got a win firstly. Mm-hmm. I tipped my brother to score try. Then he scored a try. Robbie's celebrating... First, he obviously played 300 the week before, but first game at home, so the retirement as well. They had all of the Lebanese drums, so that
was pretty good, eh?
It was really fun. It was a great atmosphere down there. For a Thursday night, I thought it had really good atmosphere, so that was good fun. Had Gavin Cooper on the Professor's late hit last night, so...
He's a good man, Coach.
He is great.
Yeah. Him and JT are really, they're really rock solid.
Looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, you mentioned the Tigers. 28 points to 4 over the Cowboys. Geez, there seems to be a gap opening, doesn't it, between those top teams and the ones who are either struggling or trying to get in the bottom of the eight. But the Storm over the Broncos last night, 40 points to 4. That was an absolute hammering. We'll go into that game in more detail very, very shortly. course, the other game last night, the Raiders, who were just looking the goods increasingly every week, playing some great footy. Josh Hodgson celebrating his 100th game, 46 points to 12 over the Warriors, whose best moment came from their coach at halftime. Didn't he give them an absolute spray?
Oh, I can understand that. They're a tough team to coach, and you just don't know what you're going to get. It's a box of chocolates. You just don't know. And then when he kicked it, who was the player that caught it? Great reflexes.
I didn't see, but that was good.
One of the Warriors players caught the box.
What was the best thing was that it was so out of character too for Stephen Kearney.
Yeah.
You know, you expect that from Desi or perhaps from Craig Bellamy, but Steve Kearney's usually pretty calm, so that just goes to show, you know, puts into context the, how frustrated
I think
he
the
was.
Red mist had been building since the week before
with the referees as well.
For Steve Kearney,
last week with the referees, even though he criticised them, he was still reasonably measured in his criticism.
All right, let's get next to that game. The Storm over the Broncos, 40 points to 4. You listen to Saturday Triple M, NRL. Lovely to be with you as we head towards 5 o'clock, the Dogs and the Panthers. Before then, as we mentioned, the Giants taking on the Swans last night. Again, looking at that tyre power scoreboard, it was an embarrassment for the Broncos. Absolutely thumped at home by the Storm, 40 points to 4. They've got a pretty good record up there, the Storm. In fact, Anthony Seibold, just his quote after the game, we got bullied and outplayed. We got lapped by the best team in the league. It was nowhere near good enough.
It wasn't. The Storm, absolutely everywhere across the park, weren't they? They were so dominant. It was hard to pick if you wanted to pick their best, you know, three players. Everyone really stood up through the middle. I mean, Cameron Smith, he's doing it week in, week out. Even players like Kenny Bromwich, you know, playing in the back row.
Sort of Pappenhausen.
He's been such a great find. Jerome Hughes, obviously, no replacement for Billy Slater, but he's doing such a great job as well. So if you look across their 17, basically every single Melbourne Storm player, I'm pretty sure Craig Bellamy would have been happy with. He was happy with their effort last week, although they didn't get the result. And I think it just goes to show how far ahead, even though the Broncos, they're a very young squad. But we keep questioning, or commentators every week say, well, can the Melbourne Storm keep this up? Can they keep this level up, or can they go to another gear?
Level,
But they just keep finding another gear, and it's players who I think have had a bit of first grade, one or two seasons under their belts now, and they're starting to really shine because they don't have Billy Slater. They've still got Cam Smith, but it's collectively, it was a team effort last night.
Yeah, I think what I find about the Melbourne Storm, obviously last year, you know, they struggled a little bit to go, you know, with the Roosters in that final series. But even like now, you could just see Cam Smith's playing, you know, he's career best football, but you got guys like Cameron Munster. He's my favourite player to watch because you don't know what you're going to get, but he's just such a competitor. And I think he got a good shot put in there at one stage and he got up and he wasn't happy, but they just keep chasing and putting in. But what I like about the Storm now, they got beaten by Manly last week. Manly went down there to do a job and they would have hated that because, you know, they like milestones and obviously Max Cooley threw that grenade. And I reckon they got in their comfort zone the last couple of weeks. And then this week they wanted to show, they go back to Brisbane because a lot of Queenslanders in that team.
Yeah.
And Cam Smith, I reckon, he takes it real personal. Not that the Broncos didn't want to sign him, but it's like, this is what you missed out on, Brisbane. And just the way that he played, just his passes. Kenny Bromwich, he's gone another level. Like, his brother's always been, he's been the best Bromwich. But Kenny Bromwich is starting to be a bit of world-class on that edge there, like a Ryan Hoffman, the way that he plays. And just when they finish, they're doing everything at speed.
Yeah.
Josh Adokar, mate. Just the way that he moves, you know, Pappenhausen comes on, he competes, Hughes, everything they're doing has got a bit of class. And the Broncos, they didn't just get outplayed. They got blown off the park.
And they did. They got the size in the pack, and a lot of mongrel in the pack as well. And that, as you say, goes out to those wings. And Josh Adokar last night, his try down that sideline, the timing of it, and then the speed as he collected the ball was absolutely
Even Olam, to come in, you get that pass, and you pass it the inside-out pass or something, flick it around, everything was just on. When you're training and you want everything to click, last night at Suncorp Stadium, everything clicked for the Melbourne Storm. And if I'm the Roosters and sitting back, everyone's going, oh, the Roosters, when they get all their players on deck. Let me tell you, the Storm this year, they've changed the game up a bit. And no matter who they play, you're going to have to be good to beat them, whether it's South with Sam Burgess or Canberra Raiders, which they showed against the Warriors last night.
How many of those Storm players would you say are in career best form at the moment? Because they're all playing pretty good. Cam Munster, I mean, close to career best form.
Yeah, no, I agree. But they just look like a happy side. Not just a happy side. they're a clinical side. Like they just don't. There was no sympathy there for them, and that's a real Craig Bellamy trait. Like, you know, okay, boys, we got beaten last week. We should have closed that game out. We didn't close it out, and they, you know, like when you're a kid and you're playing with someone and someone takes your toy. Like last week when they lost. Mm. Yeah, beat them at their home ground. They didn't like that. So I was going to feel sorry for whoever was going to play them the next week, and unfortunately it was the Broncos.
Matt Lodge, for a moment there earlier, they thought maybe, you know, because there's a bit of antagonism, there's a bit of hair pull on Dale Finucan, which he didn't like, and they kind of got in each other's faces. And you thought, well, maybe they can do something here, the Broncos. But after that, it just fell apart, didn't it, for them?
It seemed like from the get, because they kicked out on the full, and you know sometimes when you just get that feeling it's not going to be their night? I got that feeling as soon as they kicked out on the full and nothing was going their way. And, I mean, sure, so Matt Gillett was injured, Tevita Pangai Jr. Yeah, was right. suspended. I know they didn't have those two, and Tom Dearden's still out, but mind you, he's only played four or so that's first right. grade games, so they still had the players there. I think it's... not so much a surprise that the Melbourne Storm won. They're at the top of the table for a reason, but the Broncos should have put up more of a fight than they did.
Yeah, and I was disappointed. Like, you know, I'm all for Anthony Seibold being coach at the club, but even, like, you know, I think he made a comment about, you know, Storm, you know.
Not the first Broncos team to lose to Melbourne by 40 points.
Yeah, how's that
somewhere
relevant?
Deep inside this organisation, we have to be better, he said.
Yeah, no, yeah. So I didn't want to hear about what's gone on in the past, because I've been in one of those teams who have been flogged by the Melbourne Storm, I think 48-6 in 1999 or something like that, and at the old ANZ Mount Gravatt. But, like, I understand that Melbourne have had the wood on, but when they went down to Melbourne in that first round, I think the first round, they lost 22-12, they showed a bit of ticker, and I thought, okay, they're going somewhere here. But for me, if you know...
So you just got to own it as that group.
You got to own it. You got outplayed, you got smashed, you know, but I just didn't want to hear that first part of what Seibold. I know what he was trying to say, but for me, I just that's not good enough for me, because I've been smashed like 3 or 4 times by that sort of scoreline. Parramatta, I think, put them through the cleaners before Origin, I think the second or third one as well.
Because over the last 10 years, there would be staff members around the organisation that are still there. It's basically saying that, well, it's someone else's fault. We've got to find something that's been happening over the last 10 years, and that's not really... it's not relevant to what you're doing this year. You're there to work with the group you have to try and change the culture with this current group and this current group of staff members as well. There's no point pointing the finger at what's happened in the past.
And what they've got a pretty tough run home, as we know. You know, they've got South, and they've got all their games in Queensland. South, I think the Cowboys. But now you've got to get them back on track. I know they need to defeat a Pangai Jr. back then. They need to get back on track and build a few games there. Look, I don't know if they get there, whether they can do anything.
They've got the Cowboys, they've got the Panthers, they've got the Rabbitohs, the Eels, then the Bulldogs.
Yeah. So it's not too bad. There's a couple of hard ones there, obviously, South and that. Did you say Panthers?
Yep. The Panthers at Suncorp.
So that's, but that's going to test them. Like, for me, I reckon sometimes you need that hard run in. Like, now, they have to get into a finals mentality now. And that could harden them for their. But from what I saw last night, I had a few mates who said to me, mate, we've left. Mate, and... over the years, not many Bronco fans have left early. They were embarrassed last night.
All right. Well, that puts an idea in my head. A little bit later on, when we go through the teams that are in contention for the eight and see and have a look at what their run home is, and let's make a decision, see who will or who won't be there come September. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. For Ream Hot Water.
Get your boots out!
Triple M Footy.
Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Gerds can't be. He'll be back, of course, next week. Del, are you good at gift giving?
Yeah, of course.
For the wife?
Yes, of course I am.
You're not like Mark Bosnich, who just gives cash.
Oh, what?
Yeah. No. That's his go-to, you know.
No.
Christmas. Yeah.
Are they not, when you're married, your money's...
Yeah,
well, that's money's her
thing.
Money.
I would have thought. No, but
we're married, you know, you take money from one another.
Just a pile of cash is what he does. It's lovely,
but
very romantic.
I'd probably rather a card with a really, really nice heartfelt message than some cash.
Seriously?
Because if you're my husband, I'm taking, if I need money, you just take it. Yeah.
Are you and Zach, you're already in that process where you can just take, well, his money's your money and your money's his money?
Well, the thing is, I frequently forget... So when you change your handbag over, you might have a clutch one day, and then you change it to your big handbag, and you don't swap everything over.
Is that what we
call
Zach now, the big handbag?
So sometimes I don't swap my credit card over. So happened a couple of days ago, and I said, oh, damn, I don't have my card. "Oh, I need your card. I need something." He said, "Oh, yeah, how much?" I said, "Oh, I need $400."
Oh,
I said, "Just give me your card." So.
Well, can I ask a question? Like, anyway, you know, it's
he did.
Of course, yeah, he has
okay.
to. No choice.
Oh well, it's 2019. You can actually get it on your phone. So
you can. I just haven't set it up yet.
Sorry. Yeah.
But then, so I thought, okay, I have to have. I'll move my car underneath. At Channel 10, where I can't get a parking fine, but I was a little bit late going out to do that. Two parking fines in 1 week.
Oh, wow.
I'm not. And the second day, actually, I got a parking fine. I was 8 minutes late. Were got you? Out there, yeah. And I got it 8 minutes earlier.
I'll be honest. I was lucky enough. When I was at Channel 10 there, I was there for a couple of years, and one day I came out and the bloke was doing it, and he saw me, and he goes, "Is this your car?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, okay, just move it."
So, I think that's because you're Wendell Saylor.
Oh, look, I didn't want to say that, but yeah, I knew that. So that's nice, but I think if you'd be nice
that's
to people.
It's not nice, it's corrupt.
But if you'd be nice to people, what goes around comes around, I say.
Okay, gift giving.
Yeah.
You make good choices?
Yeah, I make good choices because I've got this beautiful daughter who helps me out. So she sort of lets me know what sort of mum's been looking at, what mum needs.
Yeah.
Because my wife, even though I like buying her flowers, she doesn't think flowers are the best. Like, she's happy. She takes flowers, but...
But not for every birthday. It's
no, she'd guess. Rather... But, and then if I think back in the day when I used to buy flowers, she's thinking, okay, what have you done wrong? No. So, but yeah, but I just think you just get a little bit of intel. And my daughter, she's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I was Kate's 40th, so I had to dig deep during the week to get the right gift. Because last year, I must admit, I panic bought. And I bought a pair of shoes that I knew she wouldn't really like, and I also knew were the wrong size. So I thought, well, she's going to be taking them back anyway.
You knew they were the wrong size.
Well, yeah, I couldn't get her exact size.
How could you not? You live with her.
No, I know her size, but they didn't have them.
Oh, okay.
In the shoes that I knew she didn't like.
But why would you buy them then?
Because I knew she was going to take them back anyway. Oh. So what's the matter if they're size or, you know, the taste?
Really.
But then it makes you look stupid because she thinks, how can you not know my size?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It was a birthday Eve purchase.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
A birthday Eve purchase. And I got it completely wrong.
Can I ask you, what did you get for her this year?
I got her handbag.
What brand?
Louis or something.
Louis Vuitton?
No, not Louis Vuitton.
Oh, sorry. No. I just thought men of your taste.
Much better than
and
that.
Kate's quality. Oh.
But again, I took advice and did well.
And so, did she like it?
She loved it.
How much did she love it?
She loved it. She quite liked it. She did love the Raiders over the Warriors, 46 points to 12, continuing the trend of last night where it was just one-way traffic. And the Raiders have been terrific. And once again, they've travelled. They've gone to the Warriors' home ground. This is a team that has just been building something pretty special in the nation's capital. We've known for a long time they can score tries. Suddenly they can mix it with the tough stuff. Their defence has been terrific for most of the year. Josh Hodgson, who has been inspirational, played his 100th game. And I think Danny Badiris in his call said that basically it was the best game he'd seen him play. So he's playing great footy and leading with John Bateman, another English player who's been inspirational for them. Pretty impressive, I thought.
Well, over the last couple of years, the Raiders have always been there and about. So I think 2016, they finished second. And the last couple of years, they're always just around the top eight, and then the back end of the season they'll fall off, or the back end of games, you know, they can't quite close it out. It's just they had the talent, but they just couldn't land that killer blow. But this season they're able to do it. So I wonder if over the last couple of seasons that's, you know, hardened them up. They've gotten used to that, and then that's been an advantage because they've been able to learn from it and kept the core group of players together and got a couple of those English recruits. And now they're playing. I mean, you could say they are now genuine contenders.
Oh, look, I've got no doubt they're genuine contenders now, but I think you're right. The English players, everyone gives them a rap too. But I'll tell you what's been good for them also. Ricky backing that young talent, like the Simonson, like he came from nowhere. You know, Joey Lelou has been injured. Nick Kotrick, you know, he's obviously spent at the moment, but since he's come in the last couple of years, he hasn't missed a beat. So Ricky's getting the best out of these young players, and even those young forwards, they're doing a job for him. So they seem to... you know, they seem to be able to have a plan A and a plan B now. They can close the game out. And also Jack Whiten, playing in that left-hand side.
Yeah.
The way that Jack Whiten's playing now, I coached him in the All-Stars. I was on the coaching staff with Gordy and Laurie, and everyone knew that Jack Whiten had this ability. But then, you know, he'd drop the ball, he'd make a few mistakes. But he's sort of built like a back rower. His skills now, like, he knows when to kick, he knows when to run, and he's hard to stop. he's playing his career best, you know, football at the moment.
He and Aidan Caesar together were terrific.
Yeah, but you know you're in a good place when Ricky's thinking about moving Aidan Caesar on, because Sam Williams, he's still there too. So what they've got a base of a squad who are a tough squad who can win away from home. Because if you're going to win a grand final, get to the grand final, you've got to make sure that, you know, they went to Penrith last week, did a job on them. They're a very happy outfit, but not, they're just confident in what they're doing. And the Warriors last night, just is so disappointing, because you just think the Warriors would show something. They showed something against Parramatta last week. They got away with that one in Cronulla. They're just mentally, they're just not up every week for it.
Isn't it the Warriors every year so up and down? They're one of those sides. Yeah. I think if you had to pick one side in the competition who is the most inconsistent, and you literally every week when they play, you just don't know what you're going to get from them, you'd have to pick the Warriors, surely.
But they go toe-to-toe with Melbourne and, you know, certain teams, the ones that you don't expect them to, and then they just get dusted up. I mean, Canberra plays some good football, but they're just mentally soft.
The Raiders now go on to take on the Roosters. That'll be a great game next week, won't it?
Yeah, and I think for the Raiders, I think, you know, they want to test themselves. They don't need to show the competition. Like, Manly have proven to me now that they're a top four side after what they've done last week. But this is one of the ones that you want to tick off at the back end of the season. These are the games that you want to play to prove to yourself that you can go with them. Even though the Roosters haven't got their best side, they're still going to be pretty tough to beat because they're the premiers and they've got to build now.
I can't wait for that game. But how Josh Hodgson, Tony, you mentioned it was so good. What kind of, I mean, we know he has a massive influence on the side. Can you compare it to anyone else? Cameron Smith, you'd have to say, of anyone else in the competition has the biggest influence on his side. Does Josh Hodgson come in second?
I think so in the competition. I think the only other player I know playing that position, but I think we'll see Sam Burgess when he comes back this weekend. He's a player that you need at a club, you know, for different reasons, but, you know, the trickery in and around the number nine and just the energy that he plays with and the smarts, he's certainly, you know, it's Cameron Smith and then him have the most influence.
But in saying that, when Josh Hodgson was out for a big chunk during this year, the Raiders were still winning.
Yeah,
so
Havili,
that's such a good sign.
That's right, because Havili did a good job and so they had to change a little bit of their game around. So well done to Ricky and his coaching team. So they're learning lessons now and, mate, they're in the competition up to their eyeballs.
Raiders 46, the Warriors 12, the Tyre Power scoreboard right now. Tyre Power by 3, get 1 free on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. The Gold Coast Titans have made a decision. Justin Holbrook is the man who will be taking over. It's not Kevy. We'll go to Queensland. Chat with Ben Dobbin next. We are once more joined by Ben Dobbin. Dobbo, g'day.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are we?
Hey, Dobbo. How you going, mate?
Thank you. Gee, that was rampaging. I know. Well, before we get to the what's going on with the Titans and the announcement of the coach and so on and so forth, just backtrack slightly. You were there calling Storm absolutely rampaging over the Broncos.
Well, it was a benchmark, and they said all week for Brisbane this was going to be the real test. I think Gordon Tallis described it best in the call when he said Brisbane have been playing with Monopoly money, and now they've gone out into the real world and they're starting to use their own money, and they got schooled. Look, we all drink the Kool-Aid a little bit. This side is a young team. They had plenty of opportunities, but they just got completely outplayed in the middle and off the back. I mean, Cameron Smith, Cameron Munster, they put on a masterclass last night and they really toyed with Brisbane. And it's a good lesson for them, but they're a long way from where they want to be.
That's right, yeah. I'm thinking even if they get into the finals, like, it's a bit of fool's gold. Like, you just make up the numbers unless they can do something over the next month of the competition, because, you know, there's a couple of tough games there.
We've got South and Parramatta still to come, haven't they? And, I mean, the Cowboys at 1300 Smiles Stadium, they always get up for it despite how badly they're going. Yeah. So you can, you know, on the road, they're always tough to beat. I mean, it's a little bit ironic if Brisbane do make the 8. I know, and I'm not, you know, I want Brisbane to succeed. You know, when you work in the media in rugby league in Brisbane, you want to be there in September. But, you know, for them to make into the 8 and, you know, after what they delivered last night, they were really outplayed. And effort is one thing. It's the 1%. As Gordon Tallis talked about last night, the kick chase from Brisbane was just non-existent. But if you look at the Melbourne side, it's the 1% is that they don't record as statistics to what they do so well, and they just really taught them a lesson.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I guess, in terms of being taught a lesson, young teams, young players, it is consistency that is a problem. They can be terrific one week, and the next week they're suddenly not there at all, which seems to be in the case. All right, well, let's go down the road a few Ks to the Gold Coast. What's the week been like, Dobbo?
Well, I mean, Justin Holbrook, obviously, we talked about this last Saturday. He's the coach, and congratulations. And I know a lot of people who are close to him says he's going to do a wonderful job. But just the question mark around it is just the process about how they went about it and who's actually running the Gold Coast Titans at the moment. I mean, I know that they said they did their due diligence on everybody, but if this was the most important, Dennis Watt came out 3 weeks ago and said this is the most important decision in the club's history.
Yep.
Okay, I get that. I agree 100%. So if you've got all these players, all these potential coaches, and I'm talking Kevin Walters, I'm talking the Walker brothers, Jeff Toovey, Anthony Griffin, Craig Fitzgibbon, Justin Holbrook, it would be amiss, wouldn't it, if you're running an organisation to actually get in front of these blokes, see a presentation, see what they're about. I mean, you can talk to people all you want. The two people that I'm aware of that they talked to about Kevin Walters were Jared Wallace and Jai Arrow. Now, I'm not. I know that for a fact that Mal Meninga spoke to them about his coaching style, and he spoke to Alan Langer. Now, with all due respect, Alan Langer, yes, I can understand it. But if you're going to ask about coaching, Jai Arrow and Jared Wallace aren't the two blokes, mate. Put the ball under the wing and run up and down up the middle. Like, I'm not being, the intricacy.
Sure.
I just think that, look, and this could be proved to be their greatest ever decision if Justin Holbrook delivers. But why wouldn't you have given the time? They said there was going to be an exhaustive process. Well, it never was. We talked this last week. The only person that was spoken to by Mal Meninga was Justin Holbrook. No one else was spoken to at all. So they obviously had him pegged from the start. They wanted to show a bit of face. They wanted to obviously clearly look like they were doing the due diligence. I just don't understand the secrecy around it. Just say he's our man. We've earmarked him. He's the bloke we want. And don't put everybody else through it. Kevin Walters was never rung. None of them were ever rung. I feel that maybe, just maybe, it was not handled the way he wanted. And we don't know actually who's running the show. Is it Dennis Watt? Is it Mal Meninga? Is it Steve Mitchell, who's in charge of the CEO? Like, who is running the Gold Coast Titans? Is it the ownership, Darryl Kelly and the Frizzells? If so, rightly so, they've got to have... Like, there just doesn't seem to be some clarity about who's actually making the decisions there. And I just hope for their sake they have success because, you know, the drums will start to beat if we have another year like we've had this year. They've got a decent roster. I know they need to clean out some players. Leone Latu and a few, and Bryce Cartwright and a few of those players, they have to move them on. But they're going to have to take a clip on the way if they're going to offload them. They're going to have to put some skin in the game with the club if they are to get rid of them because, I mean... He's the most, I think he's on $450,000 a year at the moment with Arnie Ladu. Like, and he's delivering at the moment, just not good enough.
Hey, Dobbo, they obviously have massive raps on Justin Holbrook, but there are suggestions that the players, the club, have had too much power over the last couple of years and contributed to, obviously, the last two coaches being sacked. So having a coach like Justin Holbrook, who maybe doesn't have as big of a profile or as big of a presence as someone like a Kevy or, your Wayne Bennetts and your Craig Bellamy's, do you think that's going to be an issue? Is he going to be able to control that group?
I spoke to a senior NRL coach who works in New South Wales, and he told me this week that Holbrook will be a very good coach and that he will rule with an iron fist. But you're right. Look, if you're Neil Henry at this very moment, you would be absolutely filthy. I mean, he was the one who didn't want Jared Hayne. He was overruled, and then he was sacked off the back of a poor performance. And Hayne divided that side. We all know that. That's, refused to train. Put a bad culture in. When he wanted him moved on, he got moved on. Now, Neil Henry had him in the semis the year before he was sacked. So, I mean, there's blokes like that. You're right. There needs to be, and I suppose that's why Mal Meninga's there now. He's the, he's been there to oversee the culture. And look, he does a fantastic job at the Kangaroos. He does a fantastic job, wherever he's been, and he's an immortal. So we've got to trust that having that kind of presence there, and Dennis Watt, who's been a chairman at the Melbourne Storm and also the Brisbane Broncos, knows what to do, knows how to put the systems in place. And I hate to use the word rebuild, but the Titans are going to have another go at rebuilding next year. But, I mean, what do they do with Ash Taylor? Do they try and move him on? At the Gold Coast Titans, I spoke to a senior official. They said, mate, No club wants him.
Yeah, Dobbo, I'll tell you, let me go back to Justin Holbrook first. Like, I've worked with him at the Dragons when he had the 20s. And you know what's good about him? He's that sort of bloke you're doing anything for. So when I was working with the NRL side and then I'd be doing something, he'd give me a call and go, mate, do you mind coming down and working with the boys a bit, our back three? We've got a young bloke here who's looking to, So, mate, his coaching is where he's happy to do anything for the players, but he's that sort of bloke who he is tough on his players, but also he gets the boys together. I was really impressed with him when he was at the Dragons. So when he left, I wished him all the best, and obviously he's had some success over there in the Super League. I think, look, he's going to be good for the Titans, but geez, I don't know if how many years is he on for? 2 or 3 years?
2 years.
I don't know if two years is enough to do what he's got to do. Also, don't forget he's coached a fair few of those young blokes, especially Ash Taylor as a junior kangaroo, so he might get the best out of him. He's going to have to because obviously he's on big dollars, but I think Justin can do some good things there, but he's going to need a lot of help and people have to be very patient.
Maybe he'll drag some Josh Hodgson's or John Bateman's from the Super League over there with him.
That's what's going to have to happen. And as Dobbo said, you're going to have to try and move some blokes on with big money there. Like Lalani Latu, like he's a top player, but for him to be on $500,000, someone's got to be accountable
huge.
For that.
Yeah, it's huge. I just would like the name from the Titans. I know Mal Meninga is there, but why wouldn't you let Mal talk? We see Mal in the Courier Mail. He speaks. We see Mal on Fox.
Yeah.
You know, he's a part of Fox Sports, but then he's not allowed to talk as a Titans. He's a Kangaroos. But there just needs to be some clarity. If you've got an immortal in your club, and he's running the show, I want to hear from Mal Meninga. I don't want to hear from anybody else because he's a leader and he knows how to win. He's a proven. So, look, they've got some headaches there. I want the Titans to win. We need the Gold Coast to be a success. We want them to be a success. Let's just hope in the next 12 to 18 months we see some improvement.
Hey, Dobbo, just finally, Kevin Walters for him, the coaching ship, surely that hasn't sailed with that being his last option. Will there be other opportunities?
Oh, I don't think so. I hate to say it. I think Kevy's going to focus on. He's done a great job in Queensland, and I know he has aspirations to one day coach the Kangaroos as well.
Yeah.
And you know what? If he can coach Queensland, and you know, for the next 5 years, and then move on to the Kangaroos or something like that, I think he'll be a happy man. And yeah, it's a weird situation. Well, he's had so much success coaching in clubland and as assistants and around it, but he. Yeah, I don't know what the knock is on him. I don't know why the pushback for Kevin Walters not to be a club coach, but there's something that I don't see, and smarter people are making the decisions than me, but it's a sad thing. I think he should have been given at least an opportunity to coach a club.
Yeah, look, I've got no doubt. Look, if I was Kevy, I wouldn't lose faith, but he needs to go back and just work with the Queensland team for another couple of years. If he leaves for another 2 years, you just never know how it turns. Look at Paul McGregor at the Dragons. He signed for 2 more years. Now they're talking about moving, you know, him on and obviously his staff. So if I'm Kevy, I wouldn't lose faith. Just be upbeat. Do what he does, and you never know. That opportunity could be around the corner.
That's true.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
If Brisbane have another 2 seasons like this year, despite there's a 5-year deal, will Brisbane pull the trigger?
I don't think they will, no. I think they think that, one, it'd embarrass them. I'm not sure how long Paul White's here, but also I think that over the next 4 or 5 years, I think Seibold's a man for the job, which
I agree there, but, you know, like I was talking to a senior back today from the Broncos, and the worry is on the Bronx is that, despite the fact that they have this loss in their building, there's no senior player. Yeah. What they said to me was, mate, when we had young players, we had a Shane Webke learning off an Andrew G. There's no senior players who are teaching them how to win.
It's
all young blokes, and that's the worry.
But what about Alex Glenn? Alex Glenn, I mean, Darius, look, to be honest, like, I love Darius, but there's a few times there I thought, geez, you'd nearly got to drop Darius to the bench or drop him in general, and then Darius does something and comes back okay. I understand where they're going with it, but I just think we just need to cool our heels at the moment, you know?
Yeah, all right. Well, Kevin may get another opportunity. I mean, obviously coaching is always an opportunity.
Of course.
Coaches, they're like, you know, animals on the African savannah. Very few of them die of natural causes.
Look at Steve Price over in the Super League. You know, he was gone after the Dragons, and now he's at another Challenge Cup
Ben
final.
Dobbin, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much, Dobbo.
Have a great weekend, guys.
We'll do. Who will make those finals? We'll look at the run-in next on Saturday Triple M NRL.
For Ream Hot Water. Triple M Footy. For McDonald's. Triple M Footy.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. We just have 2 hours to chat, an hour and a quarter, actually. Now, 2 o'clock, of course, you'll be hearing the Giants taking on the Swans. Gee, that's a tough ask for the Swannies, I imagine, this afternoon. The Giants flying pretty well.
Yeah. They tried hard against the Cats last week. They were with them for a little while on the Cats.
First half.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit like we're talking about the young Broncos. It's a very, very young Swans team, so that inconsistency. They can go with another team for a couple of quarters.
Yeah,
and
but not the last quarter, third quarter. Hey, where's Buddy? He's been out for like about 4 or 5 weeks, hasn't he?
He has. With that hamstring, it just keeps not quite being.
He's not getting any younger, mate.
Nah. He'll be okay for.
How old is he?
I think he's 31, maybe.
It's got another 4 years to go?
Yeah.
Would you move him on?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
He hasn't really delivered anything to you guys.
He's delivered, when you say you guys, you mean the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, well,
Swans,
yeah.
Masses in terms of membership, bums on seats at the SCG, charisma, great entertainment. He's been one of the two grand finals. They haven't won one yet.
Yeah,
not the measure necessarily.
And if you ask a leaguey who's not really into their AFL, ask them to name some Swans players, I bet you the first person they will say is Buddy Franklin.
Yeah. Yep.
And the second and third will be Buddy Franklin.
I get that. Look, I'm friends with Buddy, but I'm just saying, do you think that he's delivered? That's all.
Yeah, no, I definitely do. All right, speaking of delivering, who is going to be playing finals football in the NRL? Now, okay, let's go have a little look through this. Who's got the run home? Because there is, there's some teams here, a bunch of them, each who have, pretty good prospects. So let's go from the bottom. We're wiping out the Titans and wiping out the Bulldogs, the Dragons, the Cowboys, and then after last night, the Warriors. I'm saying goodbye to those. And we all agreed on that?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, going at the top, obviously, Storm, absolutely magnificent last night.
Yes.
They have been all season. The Raiders, again, looking terrific. They're in second, but they could be pipped in that spot later this weekend, of course, by the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. All those four, brilliant. Seagulls, tick, tick, tick. I'm going to give the Eels a spot. Okay, then there are six at the moment on 22 points.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got them in. So let's go then from 7 through to 11 and have a look who you think. So obviously a team close to your heart, the Tigers currently in seventh. They've got the Doggies at ANZ, the Sea Eagles at Brookvale, the Knights at Campbelltown, the Dragons at the SCG, the Sharks at beautiful Leichhardt. That's not a bad run.
No, the only one that really worries me is Manly at Brookie Oval.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a tough one. But I know the Sharks are also struggling and trying to get into the eight, but now they've got all of their players back. Wade Graham fit again, Matt Moylan, Fifita, if he's not suspended for the next few weeks, he's back. So, but in saying that, you'd say that was a hard game, but because it's Leichhardt Oval, final round, it'll be Robbie's last game at Leichhardt Oval, and they always get up
for Robbie again. Yeah. I mean, it's like
can't do it every week for Robbie.
He even said when we spoke to him afterwards, he said, I just lift another gear when I'm at Leichhardt. So I think they can get that one.
Okay.
You can't take any easily, but I say 4 out of 5 for those.
No, that would I reckon would get them there. What are you thinking, Del?
Yeah, look, I just don't know which Tigers, they were good the other night. The Cowboys were really ordinary. There's good opportunity, good upside there. And I reckon they got the easiest draw out of these couple
of teams. Right.
But Seagulls and Sharks, I think, are going to be the difficult one. And the Knights on their day, so they're going to have to earn that spot still. And I think they will if they pull it at the end of the night.
Okay, all right. Well, obviously, you're looking for two spots here. Eighth at the moment, the Panthers. They got the Doggies, Sharks, the Broncos, the Cowboys, the Roosters, and the Knights. That's a tougher run home.
It's a tougher run, but I think for them, they've got to get back in the winner's circle this week. Kick out, he's out for another week, isn't he? He's another week out.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's going to be tough. So for them, Bulldogs for some reason, they go right against the Panthers. So I'm not sold on the Panthers yet, even though they had that 7 straight wins.
Okay. Let's go to the Broncos then. We saw them last night, not terrific. They've got the Cowboys. That's a huge one. Panthers, Rabbitohs, Eels, and the Bulldogs.
No, I don't think the Broncos will make it.
Okay.
I think
there's
a couple of easy ones, but I don't think they'll. And then Cowboys, they've had a few losses. So when they play the Cowboys, that's always a big game. Matt Scott retiring, they need a couple of wins for him.
I think the Broncos could make it, but they need to get Dearden back. They need DeVita Pangai Jr. and they need to pull up that against the Roosters, which you can't just turn it on. But fair enough. And if they get there, they're probably just going to make up the numbers anyway.
Okay, one point back on 18 is the Knights, who have got the Seagulls, the Eels, the Cowboys, the Tigers, the Titans, and the Panthers.
It's a tough one because the Knights, we know what they can do, but at the moment I'm not seeing it. It's like they've spent so much winning those 6 or 7 games in a row, and they're trying to find that balance again. You know, they lost a fair bit at the start of the year, and then with Jesse Ramey moving on. Look, players aren't going to dwell on that because there's some depth there. But even Brownie's put some players on notice.
He's changed the team significantly for this weekend.
And I reckon the Roosters just blew them away, and they took their confidence away in the second half, so I don't think they can make it.
Okay, you're wiping them, man. Finally, at the moment, in 11th, of course, the Sharks have got the Rabbitohs, the Panthers, the Dragons, the Warriors, the Raiders, and the Tigers.
I think the Sharks can make it.
Ooh-hoo.
I think between the Tigers, Panthers, and Sharks, I think they'll battle it out for the final three spots, just given this will be the first week the Sharks have all of their top 17 available.
Yeah.
So it's been a pretty hard first year for John Morris with, I know injuries are part of the game, but finally they're all back. Gow had a really good captain's knock last week, and if he keeps that up, I think the Sharks can scrape
And in. I reckon if I'm Andrew Fifita, I reckon he owes the Sharks players, those young bucks. I reckon he owes them because I reckon he's got a little bit selfish this year.
Yep.
I like the way Fifita plays when he's on. He could be their barnstorming, you know, presence leading into the finals.
All right, there you have it. Next, so it's the game that everybody's been... Look, it's back really by popular demand. We thought it wasn't going to go another round.
We're doing it even without
Gerds. It wasn't going to go another round. Yeah, maybe because Gerds isn't here to hit me.
this game's rotten,
and to
mate.
And to cheat.
Yes.
He's not here to cheat.
Wendell Saylor actually swore about it on air last week. It is who
next.
Does he play for next?
Triple M NRLs. Does he play for?
Seemingly very easy quiz, this one.
It's a good quiz. Actually, I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a few names at you. Obviously, our grand friend Gerd is not here. He's very disappointed because he does love this game.
Oh, he does love it.
I don't think he's had a win yet, has he?
Yeah, he's won one week.
Shared one week.
I think we've all won one.
Okay. We've all won it, yeah.
Well, it seems appropriate to me that it's down to you two.
Yeah.
Today.
Because I got 4 out of 5 one week on it. You got 4 out of 5 last week, was it?
Mm. Last week, Tony threw in athletes from other sports.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was tops.
Issy Nasirani.
Yeah. Oh, good memory. The Wallaby.
He's a Wallaby.
Okay, well, I hope you've been starting up your big leagues this week, because once again, I'm going to throw 5 names at you. The NRL players may not be the most famous names in the NRL. They've only played a couple of games. Maybe a journeyman who is running around, has been for a long time. Are we ready to go? Wendell, I'm going to start with you.
I love that.
Okay. Joe Denley.
Joe Denley, I would say Titans.
No, he plays for England in the cricket.
Oh, I know my cricket. I don't know. That's a stitch up, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Will Matthews.
Will Matthews, Titans.
Correct. Sam McKendry,
he was at Penrith.
Correct.
Yep.
Drew Hutchinson,
Roosters.
Correct. Christian Crichton,
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, Wendell Saylor, 4 out of 5.
Wow. Let's see.
Okay, Emma Lawrence, let me just do the maths. That means you've got to get 5.
I think I have to get 5 correct.
5 out of 5. Jason Roy.
He's a cricketer for England.
Yes,
everybody knows that one. Oh, look at that one.
Matt McIlrick.
He is now at the Eels.
Correct. Josh Curran. Come on, Em. Yeah.
Is he at the Dragons?
He's not at the Dragons.
Sorry.
He's
Ba-ba.
At the Warriors.
Oh.
Yeah,
and yeah, I wish at this point I wish I had a tiebreaker question.
Mm. Yeah, you
don't. Inari Tuala.
Cowboys.
Correct. And for the tie, Sam Tagatese.
Oh, he's now.
I know.
Don't ask me. Answer.
Sharks.
Broncos.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Wendell Saylor for the win.
Yeah. Yes, the deal.
Unlucky.
Emma.
I knew that.
Unlucky.
Reedy's Mail is coming up. Oh. Yeah, we'll speak again about the cricket as well. The Ashes, we'll talk that. And so
that.
Much more in the hour that we have to share with you. Stick around.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M 40. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.